Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Gutterball Apocalypse, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Frame. My name's Dex Ironjaw Malone, and I used to crush skulls for a living. 10 years in the NFL as a linebacker will do that. Teach you how to read a play, how to break bones, how to spot a lie. But retirement? That's the real goddamn gut punch. Nobody tells you how quiet the world gets when the crowd stops screaming. The day I signed my retirement papers, I sat in a sterile corporate office that smelled like lemon-scented regret, staring at a check that felt like a slap in the face. $10 million over a decade, pissed away on bad investments, gold-digging exes, and a mansion in Jersey that got repossessed when the market tanked. The suits who'd promised to grow my portfolio vanished faster than my cartilage. I limped out of that office with a handshake and a good luck, my knees creaking like rusty hinges. That's when the silence started. No more roar of the crowd. No more adrenaline. Just the hum of my shitty studio apartment's AC unit and the occasional gunshots echoing from the streets below. So when the Yakuza came knocking, I didn't ask questions. It was a Tuesday. I remember because Tuesdays were discount margarita nights at the dive bar next door, and I was 3 tequila deep when the man in the gray suit slid into the booth across from me. He smelled like sandalwood and danger. "Mr. Malone," he said, his accent a sharp blade of Japanese precision. "You have a reputation." I squinted at him. "Who's asking?" "Kazuo Tanaka. I represent investors." He placed a black and white photo on the table. It showed Strikes and Spares, a rotting bowling alley on the edge of Newark, its neon sign flickering like a dying heartbeat. "We require a manager. Someone with your particular skills." I barked a laugh. "You think I know shit about bowling?" He smiled, all teeth. "We think you know how to keep secrets." The offer was simple. Run the alley, launder their cash, and take a cut. No questions. No cops. They'd even throw in protection. I'd heard stories about the Yakuza, the tattoos, the severed fingers, the loyalty oaths. But desperation smells sweeter than fear. I signed the deal with a shot glass in my hand and a knot in my gut. Strikes and Spares was a tomb dressed in neon. The place reeked of mildew and defeat, the carpet sticky with decades of spilled beer and broken dreams. My crew was a patchwork of lost causes. Rico, an ex-con with a neck tattoo of Jesus flipping the bird. Tommy, a baby-faced kid who'd gotten popped for boosting cars at 16. And the twins, Lenny and Larry, burnout mechanics who could hotwire a pin setter but couldn't spell felony. We were ghosts in a graveyard of gutter balls, polishing lanes that hadn't seen a league bowler since the 90s. The Yakuza's money flowed in every Thursday. Silk-suited suits with eyes like black ice would arrive, count the cash, and leave with a nod. Fridays were for the real work, heroin bricks stuffed into hollowed-out bowling balls, cash drops in the women's bathroom ceiling, whispered deals in the arcade where Pac-Man's Waka Waka drowned out the lies. I told myself it was just business. That I didn't see the addicts twitching in the parking lot. That I didn't hear the screams from the back room when someone missed a payment. But Rico saw. "Yo, Dex," he muttered one night, nodding at a trio of Yakuza foot soldiers dragging a weeping man into the storage closet. "The fuck we got mixed up in?" I crushed a beer can in my fist. "Paycheck, Rico. That's all." He stared at me, the flickering neon reflecting in his eyes. "Ain't just money. It's blood now." He was right. The night it all went to hell started like any other. We were mid-game, laughing like the assholes we were, when the universe decided to drop a grenade in our gutter. Rico was lining up a split, cursing at the 7-pin like it owed him money. Tommy was hustling a couple of drunk college kids at the air hockey table, his grin brighter than the fucking sun. Lenny and Larry were arguing over a Playboy magazine they'd found in the lost and found. And me? I was behind the counter, pouring a beer for a regular named Old Pete, a Vietnam vet who smelled like piss and Pabst. Then the doors blew open. Not the slow creak of a drunk stumbling in. Not the casual swing of a Thursday night cash pickup. This was a hurricane. Six men in black masks stormed in, AR-15s raised, barrels glinting under the buzzing neon. No demands. No warnings. Just the deafening crack of gunfire. I dove behind the concession stand as bullets tore through the air. Rico went down first, three shots to the chest, his blood spraying the scoreboard like abstract art. Tommy screamed a raw, primal sound before a round caught him in the throat. Lenny and Larry tried to run, but the shooters cornered them at the arcade, their bodies jerking like marionettes as bullets ripped through them. Old Pete took one in the skull, his beer shattering on the floor beside him. It was over in seconds. The shooters stood in the sudden silence, smoke curling from their muzzles. The leader peeled off his mask, and my stomach dropped. Kazuo, the Yakuza's top enforcer. The man who'd handed me the keys to this nightmare. He stepped over Rico's body, his polished Oxfords leaving bloody prints on the warped lanes. You were supposed to be here alone tonight, Dex. I rose slowly, my hands shaking. The fuck is this? He lit a cigarette, the flame trembling ever so slightly in his hand. The boss thinks you've been skimming. Tisk tisk. Bad look for a family man. Skimming. I spat. I've been moving your product, cleaning your cash. He tossed a duffel bag at my feet. Inside were bricks of uncut heroin, each stamped with a cherry blossom logo. Cops will be here in 5. Your prints are all over this. Or, he shrugged, you disappear. Your choice. The room tilted. They framed me. Framed us. My crew's bodies littered the floor, their blood pooling around the gutters. Tommy's dead eyes stared at the ceiling, his hand still clutching an air hockey paddle. You killed them for this? My voice cracked. They were nobody. Kazuo's smile was a razor. Nobody is always somebody's collateral. He turned to leave, then paused. Oh, and Dex? If you run, make it far. The Italians want your head too. Something about territory disputes. They vanished into the night, leaving me ankle-deep in blood and betrayal. Sirens wailed in the distance. I grabbed the duffel, my mind racing. Cops. Yakuza. Italians. I was a dead man walking. But as I stumbled toward the back exit, Rico's words echoed in my skull. It's blood now. Behind the lanes, hidden under a loose floorboard, I kept a go bag, $5K in cash, a Glock 22, and a burner phone. I stuffed the heroin into the bag, my fingers slipping on the blood-smeared zipper. The alley's back door led to an alley reeking of piss and rotting takeout. I ran, the duffel slamming against my back, the Glock digging into my ribs. Two blocks away, I ducked into a boarded-up laundromat, my breath sawing in my lungs. The burner phone had one number saved, Aiko. A Yakuza princess turned informant, a woman who'd once straddled me in a Kyoto hotel room, her knife pressed to my throat as she whispered, "Trust is for corpses." She answered on the first ring. "You're alive." "How disappointing." "They set me up, Aiko," I hissed. "My whole crew's dead. Kazuo's framing me for the heroin." Silence. Then a sigh. "You should have stayed in football, Dex. Why'd they do it? Tell me." A pause. Static. Then, last month. A meeting at the docks. Kazuo was brokering a deal with the Genovese family. Your boys walked in on it. Cold dread seeped into my veins. So he wiped them out. Made it look like I fucked up. The heroin is a message. Kazuo's cleaning house. You're a loose end. I gripped the Glock, the metal biting into my palm. Where is he now? She laughed, low and dangerous. You'll die. Already dead. Where? A beat. The docks. Midnight. But Dex. Her voice softened. Don't miss. The line went dead. Outside, sirens screamed past. I peered through the laundromat's cracked window, watching red and blue lights slice through the darkness. They'd find the bodies. They'd find the drugs. They'd find my name on the lease. I slid down the wall, the duffel bag spilling heroin at my feet. Tommy's laugh echoed in my head. Rico's last curse at that fucking 7-pin. The twins bickering over that stupid magazine. Collateral. I punched the concrete floor until my knuckles split. Then I stood, reloaded the Glock, and stepped back into the night. The game wasn't over. It was time to roll a strike. Chapter 2, Ghosts in the Gutter. The first night after the massacre, I didn't sleep. Couldn't. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw Rico's blood spraying the scoreboard in slow motion, Tommy's throat blossoming red like a fucked up rose. The twins' bodies twitching as bullets turned them into Swiss cheese. The motel room smelled like mildew and microwave burritos, the AC unit wheezing like a chain smoker. I sat on the edge of the bed, staring at the duffel bag full of heroin and tried not to scream. The TV droned in the corner, volume low. My face flashed on the screen again, a mugshot from my DUI arrest 2 years ago. Dexter Malone, 38, former NFL linebacker, is wanted in connection with a drug-related triple homicide at Strikes and Spares Bowling Alley. The anchor's voice was butter-smooth, like she was reading a grocery list. Triple homicide. They hadn't even counted Lenny and Larry yet. Or old Pete. I chucked the remote at the wall. It shattered, batteries rolling under the bed. Collateral. Kazuo's word rattled in my skull. I stood, pacing the cramped room, my bad knee clicking with every step. The heroin bricks taunted me from the duffel, their cherry blossom stamps gleaming under the shitty motel lamp. Sakura Imports. The Yakuza's legitimate shipping company. They'd framed me with their own product, made sure the cops would tie it back to their empire. But why? Why burn me and the heroin? Unless it wasn't theirs. I froze. The burner phone buzzed on the nightstand. Unknown number. I answered, Glock in hand. Yeah. Dex. A woman's voice. Husky sharp. Iko. How'd you get this number? She ignored me. You're trending, Gaijin. Cops have your face on every screen from here to Secaucus. Thanks for the update, Nancy Grace. You calling to turn yourself in? A pause. Then a sigh. You're still alive. That's inconvenient. I sank onto the bed. Miss me that much? Kazuo's offering a bounty. 200 grand. Alive. Bargain bin. He wants to peel you himself. Her tone shifted just barely. Where are you? I laughed. Nice try. Dex. Her voice lowered. They're tracking your phone. The one you called me on. Ice shot through my veins. I yanked the battery out of the burner, crushed the SIM card under my boot. Fuck. I grabbed the duffel, the Glock, and bolted. The Newark docks at midnight are a graveyard of shadows. Rusted shipping containers stacked like tombstones, the Hudson's black water slapping against rotting pylons. I parked the stolen Honda Civic behind a derelict warehouse, the engine ticking as it cooled. The air reeked of diesel and dead fish. Iko's tip had been specific, Pier 9. Midnight. Come alone. I didn't trust her. But trust was a luxury for people who weren't wanted in 6 states. I checked the Glock. Full mag. One in the chamber. The heroin duffel sat on the passenger seat, a deadly paperweight. If Kazuo was here, I'd make him eat every brick before I put a bullet in his skull. I slipped into the maze of containers, the wind biting through my jacket. Voices echoed ahead, Japanese and Italian, sharp and guttural. Shipments clean. Malone's head will smooth things with the bosses. Kazuo. I edged closer, pressing against a container. Peered around the corner. Kazuo stood under a flickering floodlight, flanked by 2 Yakuza thugs. Across from him was a man in a pinstripe suit, Vincenzo Moretti, Genovese family underboss. His goons loomed behind him, hands on holsters. Your little stunt at the alley cost us product, Moretti snarled. Malone better be worth the mess. Kazuo smiled. He's a cockroach. We'll crush him, then expand our partnership. Moretti's lip curled. Partnership? You Yakuza are cockroaches. But, he shrugged. Business is business. They shook hands. The fucking audacity. I stepped into the light. How about a group photo? Everyone froze. Kazuo sighed. Dex. You're persistent. Learn from the best. I aimed the Glock at his forehead. Tell me why. Before I paint the docks with your brains. He tilted his head. Your crew saw us meeting the Italians. Couldn't risk loose ends. They were kids, Kazuo. Tommy was 19. And now he's a lesson. Rage blurred my vision. I squeezed the trigger. A gunshot roared. Not mine. One of Moretti's men crumpled, a hole in his chest. Chaos erupted. Bullets sparked off containers. I dove behind a forklift, returning fire. Kazuo vanished into the shadows, Moretti shouting in Italian. A hand grabbed my collar. Iko. Move, she hissed, dragging me into a container. We slammed the door. Darkness. You set me up. I shoved her against the wall. She pressed a knife to my ribs. I saved you, idiot. Kazuo knew you'd come. Then why? Because I want him dead, too. Her breath was hot, furious. He's selling us out to the Italians. My father would have slit his throat for this. I hesitated. Your father. The Oyabun. Kazuo poisoned him. Made it look like a stroke. The pieces clicked. So you're using me to take your shot. She smirked. Now you're learning. Footsteps outside. Voices. Iko's knife glinted. We finish this together. Or we die here. I reloaded the Glock. Welcome to the team. We kicked open the door. Hell followed. Chapter 3. Split the wick. The docks erupted into chaos. Bullets screamed through the air, pinging off steel containers like a deranged orchestra. Iko moved like a shadow, her knife flickering in the sporadic bursts of floodlight. I stayed low, Glock barking, each shot echoing like a thunderclap in the tight maze of shipping containers. Kazuo's men flanked us, their shouts a mix of Japanese curses and panicked English. One of Moretti's goons lunged at me, a switchblade glinting. I sidestepped, grabbed his wrist, and snapped it backward. The crack was louder than the gunfire. He howled. I silenced him with a bullet to the temple. Aiko was ahead, her blade buried in a Yakuza soldier's throat. She yanked it free, blood arcing in a black spray under the moonlight. Malone. Left. I spun. A thug in a leather jacket charged me, AK-47 raised. I dropped to a knee, fired twice. The first shot tore through his thigh, the second his jaw. He collapsed, gurgling. Where's Kazuo? I shouted over the gunfire. Aiko jerked her chin toward the water. Pier's end. He'll run. We broke into a sprint, weaving through containers. The pier stretched ahead, rotten planks creaking underfoot. Salt stung my eyes. At the far end, Kazuo stood silhouetted against the Hudson, shouting into a phone. He saw us. Turned. Smiled. Then jumped. The splash swallowed him whole. Fuck. I skidded to the edge, peering into the inky water. Ripples faded. Nothing. Aiko cursed in Japanese. He's gone. For now. I holstered the Glock, hands shaking. Not from fear, from rage. He'll regroup. Come back stronger. She wiped her blade on her sleeve. Then we burn him before he does. The siren started then, distant, but closing. Newark PD. Or worse, feds. Aiko grabbed my arm. We need to vanish. Now. We stole a dinghy moored nearby, its engine coughing to life. The Hudson swallowed us, the docks shrinking into a constellation of blue and red lights. I slumped against the hull, adrenaline leaching from my veins. Aiko piloted us toward the shadow of an old tanker, its hull rusted and barnacled. You trust me, she said suddenly. I laughed. It sounded unhinged. Do I have a choice? Her eyes narrowed. I could dump your body here. Claim the bounty. But you won't. Why? Because Kazuo's your kill. And you need me to get close. She cut the engine. The dinghy drifted against the tanker's hull, the metal groaning. My father, she said softly, was Oyabun. Leader. Kazuo was his Wakagashira, right hand. But he grew hungry. Poisoned him. Stole his seat. I stared at her. And you let him? Her jaw tightened. I was in Osaka. By the time I returned, it was done. The family believed his lies. Now, she trailed off, fingers brushing the scar on her collarbone, a Yakuza tattoo half removed by laser. I am Yokai. Ghost. The sirens faded. Somewhere, a foghorn blared. What's the play? I said. She handed me a waterlogged phone. Kazuo's moving a shipment tonight. 5 trucks. Heroin, guns, cash. Headed for a warehouse in Patterson. I scrolled through the texts. Coordinates. Times. How'd you get this? I still have friends. Or fools who think they're friends. She revved the engine. We intercept. Take the shipment. Draw Kazuo into the open. And then, she looked at me. Really looked. You get your vengeance. I get my throne. The safe house was a condemned butcher shop in Kearney, the air thick with the ghosts of slaughtered meat. Aiko barred the door with a steel slab. I tossed the heroin duffel onto a stained cutting table. This is your master plan? A freezer full of dead cows. She ignored me, yanking open a hidden panel in the wall. Inside, rifles C4 cash. We're not here to sleep, Malone. We're here to prepare. I picked up a serrated hunting knife. You're a fucking lunatic, says the man who stormed a dock with 9 bullets and a death wish. She tossed me a Kevlar vest. Put this on, and try not to die before Kazuo. We spent hours prepping. Wired explosives. Loaded mags. Mapped routes. Aiko moved with military precision, her past as a Yakuza heir evident in every calculated step. I tried not to think about Rico's blood on my hands. Tommy's laugh. The twins bickering. Collateral. But collateral fights back. At dusk, we moved. The warehouse in Patterson was a concrete monstrosity, its windows boarded, surrounded by chain link and silence. 5 semi-trucks idled in the lot, drivers smoking under flickering security lights. Yakuza scouts patrolled the perimeter, ARs slung over shoulders. Aiko and I crouched in a drainage ditch across the street. She adjusted her night vision scope. 3 guards east. 2 west. Snipers on the roof. I loaded the Glock. Distraction. She smirked. You read my mind. I palmed a smoke grenade, pulled the pin, and rolled it into the lot. It hissed, billowing gray plumes. Guards shouted. Chaos erupted. We struck. Aiko picked off the snipers with 2 suppressed shots. I charged the east guards, knife in hand. The first never saw me, blade through the ribs. The second spun, firing wild. I tackled him, driving the knife into his eye socket. Gunfire erupted inside the warehouse. Aiko's voice crackled in my earpiece. Malone. Truck bay. I sprinted. Inside, Yakuza scrambled to defend the shipment. Aiko was already there, crouched behind a pallet of heroin bricks, firing controlled bursts. Truck 3, she yelled. C4 in the cab. I vaulted over a crate, dodging bullets. Truck 3's engine roared as a driver tried to flee. I lobbed a grenade through the window. The explosion lit the night. Fire engulfed the truck, flames licking the warehouse roof. Yakuza scattered, screaming. Aiko and I fell back, covering each other. The shipment, she shouted. Blow it. I slapped C4 on the remaining trucks, detonator in hand. Fire in the hole. We ran. The blast wave knocked me off my feet. Heat seared my back. The warehouse collapsed in a roar of twisted metal and fire. Aiko hauled me up. You alive? I spat blood. Peachy. Sirens wailed in the distance. We melted into the night, the inferno painting the sky hell red. Kazuo called at dawn. Aiko's burner phone buzzed on the motel bed. She put it on speaker. You bitch, he hissed. You burned $5 million. She smiled. Hello to you too, uncle. This isn't a game. Where are you? I grabbed the phone. Miss me, motherfucker? Silence. Then a low laugh. Dex. I'll admit, you've got spirit. But this ends tonight. Meet me. Just us. No guns. No tricks. Aiko's eyes narrowed. Where? The alley. Midnight. Let's settle accounts. The line died. Aiko stood, strapping on her blade. He'll have snipers. Traps. I racked the Glock slide. Yeah, but he'll be there. She paused. Why? Because he's like me. Wants to look his kill in the eye. We left as the sun rose, the motel TV flashing images of the Patterson fire. The anchor called it a gas leak. Bullshit. The world's built on lies. But tonight, we'd bury one in a grave of his own making. Midnight at Strikes and Spares. The alley stood dark, neon sign dead. The air smelled of smoke and old blood. Kazuo waited at lane 7, a katana in hand. No guns, he said, smiling. Honorable duel. I tossed the Glock aside. Drew Rico's switchblade from my boot. Honors for suckers. He charged. The fight was brutal. Kazuo's katana sliced the air, his strikes precise. I dodged, blade scraping ribs, drawing blood. He kicked my bad knee. I went down. Pathetic, he spat. I lunged, tackling him. We crashed into the pin setter. The blade skittered away. He grabbed my throat. You lose. I grinned. Aiko. The gunshot echoed. Kazuo's head snapped back, a red hole blooming. He slumped. Aiko stepped from the shadows, smoking pistol in hand. Hello, uncle. I gasped for air. Told you no honor. She knelt, closing Kazuo's eyes. Rest in hell. The cops came then. We fled through the back, the alley's ghosts whispering our names. But the war wasn't over. It was just beginning. Chapter 4. Blood in the Ball Return. The dead don't stay buried. They claw their way back up, rot still clinging to their bones, and demand you remember them. I learned that the hard way after Kazuo's body hit the floor. His blood pooled around the lane 7 arrows, thick and black under the flickering alley lights. Aiko stood over him, her pistol still smoking, her face a mask of cold satisfaction. But the air didn't feel like victory. It felt like the calm before a fucking hurricane. We need to move, she said, kicking Kazuo's katana away. His men will swarm this place. I stared at Kazuo's corpse, his dead eyes locked on the ceiling. He's got a family. Kids. You know that. Aiko holstered her gun. He had a family. Past tense. Now he's meat. The siren started then, a distant wail growing louder. Aiko grabbed my arm, her nails digging into my skin. Now Malone. We slipped out the back, into the alley reeking of dumpsters and regret. The night swallowed us whole. For hours later. The safe house was a rat-infested flophouse above a Chinatown pawn shop. The walls were paper-thin, the air thick with the stench of fried noodles and desperation. Aiko paced the room like a caged tiger, her boots thumping over the creaking floorboards. I sat on a stained mattress, cleaning Riko's switchblade with a rag soaked in whiskey. "They'll come for us," she said. "The Yakuza. The Italians. The cops." I took a swig from the bottle. "Tell me something I don't know." She stopped, glared. Kazuo was the tip of the spear. The real power is Hiroto Tanaka. His father. The Oyabun. He'll burn this city to ash to avenge his son. I flicked the blade open. The steel glinted. "Let him try." Aiko slammed her fist against the wall. "This isn't a game. Hiroto isn't some street thug. He's a king. And you just killed his prince." I stood, looming over her. "We killed him. Don't act like you're not neck deep in this shit too." Her hand twitched toward her gun. "I'm here because Hiroto needs to fall. But you, you're here because you're too stupid to walk away." The tension snapped like a live wire. Then the door exploded. Splinters and shrapnel. The blast threw me against the far wall. My head cracked against plaster. Aiko rolled behind the mattress, drawing her pistol. Smoke filled the room, choking and acrid. Through the haze, figures stormed in black masks, shotguns, the staccato thump of boots. Yakuza. Again. Aiko fired first. A muzzle flash lit the room. One man dropped, clutching his throat. I lunged, driving the switchblade into another's thigh. He screamed. I yanked the blade free, slashed his jugular. "Window!" Aiko shouted, tossing a flashbang. The blast blinded me. I stumbled, grabbed her arm, and vaulted through the shattered glass. We hit the fire escape, the metal groaning under our weight. Bullets peppered the bricks above us. "Go!" I shoved her down the ladder. We hit the alley running. A black van screeched around the corner, doors flying open. More goons. "Split up." Aiko veered left into a crowded market. I went right, ducking under food stalls, knocking over baskets of fish and spices. The Yakuza followed, shouting in broken English. I zigzagged through the chaos, the switchblade slick in my hand. A hand grabbed my jacket. I spun, driving the blade into a man's ribs. He gasped, crumpling. I kept running. The market spat me out onto Canal Street. Taxis honked. Tourists screamed. I melted into the crowd, blood on my hands, rage in my throat. Ghosts in the machine. I holed up in a subway bathroom, the tile walls echoing with the rumble of trains. My reflection in the cracked mirror looked like hell, bruised, bleeding, eyes wild. I splashed water on my face, tried to steady my breath. The burner phone buzzed. Unknown number. I answered. "What?" "Dex." A girl's voice. Young. Scared. My chest tightened. "Mia. Tommy's sister. The kid with the snub nose and a death wish." "They took me," she sobbed. These men in suits. They said they'll kill me unless you come." Ice flooded my veins. "Where are you?" A man's voice cut in. Smooth. Italian. "Strikes and spares. 1 hour. Alone. Or we mail her fingers to the Daily News." The line died. I stared at the phone. Then punched the mirror. The trap. The alley looked different at dusk. The neon sign buzzed back to life, casting a sickly glow over the boarded-up windows. The lanes were still scarred from the grenade blast, the air tasting of burnt plastic and blood. I stood in the center, arms raised. "I'm here. Let her go." Laughter echoed. Vincenzo Moretti stepped out from behind lane 10, his pinstripe suit immaculate. Two goons dragged Mia between them, a gag in her mouth. Her eyes were wide, terrified. "Dex," she muffled through the cloth. Moretti grinned. "Malone, you look like shit. Let her go." He lit a cigar. "See, that's not how this works. You cost me money. 5 trucks. A warehouse. My bosses are displeased." I took a step forward. The goons raised guns. "Uh-huh." Moretti waved a finger. "First you kneel." I didn't move. He nodded. One goon pressed a pistol to Mia's temple. I knelt. Moretti strolled over, blowing smoke in my face. "You're a cockroach, Malone. But cockroaches can be useful. Tell me where Aiko is, and the girl lives." Mia shook her head violently. I clenched my jaw. "Don't know." He sighed. "Wrong answer." The gunshot was deafening. Not Mia. But it wasn't Mia who fell. The goon on the left dropped, a hole between his eyes. Aiko materialized from the shadows, her silencer smoking. Chaos erupted. Moretti ducked behind a lane divider. "Kill them." I tackled the second goon, driving my shoulder into his gut. Mia bit down on his hand. He screamed. I headbutted him, grabbed his pistol, and fired twice. He slumped. "Run." I shoved Mia toward the exit. She hesitated. Dex. Go. Iko and I covered her escape, bullets chewing up the lanes. Moretti's men fell back, dragging their boss to safety. We need to move. Iko yelled, reloading. I nodded, sprinting after Mia. The alley door burst open. Hiroto Tanaka stood framed in the light, a katana in one hand, a revolver in the other. Ancient. Terrifying. You, he hissed. You killed my son. Iko froze. Oyabun. He fired. The cut. The bullet tore through Aiko's shoulder. She stumbled, blood soaking her shirt. I caught her, dragging her behind a pin setter. Go, she gasped. Leave me. Shut up. I ripped my sleeve, pressed it to her wound. Hiroto's voice boomed. Aiko. Traitor. You disgrace your blood. She laughed, weak. My blood is yours. Footsteps approached. I peeked out. Hiroto marched down lane 5, his blade scraping the wood. Malone, he roared. Face me. Aiko gripped my arm. His left side, he favors it. I nodded, drew the switchblade. Stepped into the light. Hiroto smiled. Good. Die with honor. He charged. The katana swung. I ducked, felt the blade graze my scalp. Hot blood trickled down my neck. I slashed at his left leg. He grunted, pivoted. You're slow, he sneered. And you're old. He lunged. I sidestepped, driving the blade into his ribs. He roared, elbow smashing my nose. I fell back, vision swimming. Hiroto loomed over me, katana raised. For my son. A gunshot cracked. He staggered. A red bloom spread over his chest. Mia stood in the doorway, Aiko's pistol in her shaking hands. That's for Tommy, she whispered. Hiroto collapsed. Silence. The aftermath. The cops found Hiroto's body, but not us. We vanished into the subway tunnels, Aiko leaning on me, Mia clutching the gun. The safe house was a new one, a rusted RV parked in a junkyard. Aiko lay on a bunk, her breath shallow. Mia stitched her wound with a needle and thread, hands steady now. I sat outside, watching the sunrise. Mia joined me, her face pale but fierce. You okay? I asked. She lit a stolen cigarette. No. I nodded. Me neither. Aiko's voice floated from the RV, Malone. Get in here. Inside, she propped herself up, sweat glistening on her brow. Hiroto's dead. The Yakuza will fracture. The Italians will pounce. I crossed my arms. Your point. She smiled. We take control. You and me. Build something new. Mia frowned. You're both insane. Aiko laughed. Maybe. But insanity wins wars. I stared at her. Saw the hunger in her eyes. The same hunger Kazuo had. The same hunger that got my crew killed. No, I said. Aiko's smile died. What? I'm done. This ends now. She sat up, wincing. You can't walk away. They'll never stop. I tossed the switchblade on the bunk. Let them come. Mia followed me outside. Where now? I looked at her. Really looked. 19. Scared. Alive. Anywhere but here. We left Aiko in the RV, her curses chasing us into the dawn. Epilogue, the 7th frame. They say you can't outrun your past. Maybe they're right, but you can sure as hell try. Mia and I drove west, the city shrinking in the rearview. She slept in the passenger seat, the pistol in her lap. I didn't know where we were going. Didn't care. Somewhere, Aiko was carving her throne from the chaos. Let her. The road stretched ahead, empty and endless. I turned up the radio. Let the noise drown out the ghosts. Chapter 5, The Approach. The dead don't haunt you. It's the living that carve scars into your soul. Mia's hands hadn't stopped shaking since we left the junkyard. She sat cross-legged on the floor of an abandoned auto shop we'd commandeered, her brother's snub-nosed revolver disassembled in front of her. The dim light of a cracked hurricane lamp painted her face in jagged shadows. She cleaned each part of the gun with methodical precision, her eyes hollow. I knew that look. The look of someone trying to outrun the ghosts by keeping their hands busy. You ever fire one of these before? I asked, nodding at the revolver. She didn't glance up. Tommy taught me. When I was 12, said if I ever needed to protect myself, aim for the dick or the eyes. I smirked, but it felt like a grimace. Solid advice. The auto shop reeked of motor oil and rust. We'd parked the stolen van outside, its tires caked in mud from the backroads we'd taken to avoid patrols. The Yakuza had eyes everywhere now, gas stations, toll booths, even fucking diners. Hiroto's death had turned them into rabid dogs, and the Italians were capitalizing on the chaos, gobbling up territory like vultures. Aiko is out there too, somewhere. Probably stitching together her own empire from the scraps. I tried not to think about her. Mia snapped the revolver's cylinder shut. Why'd you come back for me? When Moretti took me. I stared at the grenades laid out on the workbench. Military grade, plump and deadly. You're Tommy's sister. Bullshit. Her voice was sharp. You don't owe me anything. I picked up a grenade, hefted its weight. I owe him. Let's leave it at that. She stood abruptly, the chair screeching against concrete. Don't put his death on some altar, Dex. He wasn't a saint. He stole cars. Sold drugs. He worked for you. And that makes it okay he's dead? Nob, her eyes glistened. It makes him human. And I'm tired of pretending he wasn't. The silence that followed was thicker than the oil stains on the floor. The Devil's Workshop. We spent the next 6 hours prepping. The grenades were just the start. I'd reached out to a guy named Rook, an ex-ranger who'd gone mercenary after the army kicked him out for regressive entrepreneurship in Kandahar. He met us at a derelict drive-in theater off Route 46, his pickup truck loaded with enough firepower to invade a small country. Rook was a mountain of a man, his face a topographical map of scars. He chewed a toothpick as he unloaded crates. You're stirring up a hornet's nest, Malone. Yakuza's offering a mill for your head. Alive, though. They want to play with you first. I handed him a stack of cash. Adds to the fun. Mia eyed the rocket launcher in his truck. How much for that? Rook laughed. For you, kid? Free. Just promise you'll send me a photo when you vaporize some asshole. She didn't laugh back. We took the rocket launcher. The calm before. Midnight. The van idled in an alley 2 blocks from Strikes and Spares. The bowling alley loomed in the distance, its neon sign cracked and dark. No laughter echoed from inside tonight. Just the low murmur of engines, black SUVs lining the street, Yakuza foot soldiers smoking by the doors. Mia checked her revolver. How many inside? Enough. I adjusted my Kevlar vest. Hiroto's old guard. The loyalists. And a few Italians, probably, sniffing for leftovers. And the heroine? Still in the machines. They'll be moving it tonight. Last of the stash. She nodded, jaw set. So we burn it all. We burn it all. I reached into the duffel, handed her a wireless detonator. You remember the plan? Distract. Destroy. Don't die. She pocketed the detonator. Simpler than algebra. I gripped her shoulder. Stay sharp. And stay low. She shrugged me off. I'm not the one who gets sentimental. We slipped into the night. Ghosts in the machinery. The back entrance was guarded by 2 Yakuza thugs. Their faces lit by phone screens. I took the left one with a silenced round to the temple. Mia garrote the right, her hands steady as she lowered his body to the ground. Inside, the alley was a cathedral of decay. The lanes were littered with cigarette butts and shell casings, the air sour with sweat and ammonia. Voices echoed from the arcade, Japanese and Italian, arguing over territory. I led Mia to the service corridor behind the lanes. The pin-setting machines hummed, their gears grinding. I pried open panel 7B. Inside, bricks of heroin wrapped in plastic grinned up at us. Mia hissed. There's enough here to kill a city. And we're the cure. I planted the first grenade, its timer set for 10 minutes. A sudden crash from the arcade. Mia froze. What was that? Stay focused. I moved to the next machine. But the noise came again, a guttural scream cut short. Then laughter. Mia peered through a crack in the door. They've got someone. A girl. Not our problem. She glared at me. The fuck it isn't. Before I could stop her, she was moving. Blood on the arcade floor. The arcade was a nightmare. A Yakuza enforcer had a teenage girl pinned to a Pac-Man cabinet, her shirt torn. 2 Italians watched, grinning, as he unbuckled his belt. Mia didn't hesitate. Her first shot took the enforcer in the ear. His head snapped sideways, blood spraying the screen. The Italians fumbled for their guns. I dropped them with 2 silenced rounds. The girl scrambled away, sobbing. Mia grabbed her arm. Exits west. Run. The girl vanished. I grabbed Mia. What the hell? They were raping her, Dex. And now we're compromised. A shout echoed down the lane. Boots pounded. So much for stealth. Dance of death. They came in waves. Yakuza from the front. Italians from the bar. Mia and I fell back to the lanes, using the ball returns for cover. I tossed a grenade down lane 3. The explosion lit up the alley, shrapnel shredding the first wave. Mia fired the rocket launcher, the recoil knocking her into a rack of bowling shoes. The projectile hit the bar, reducing it to splinters and flames. "That's for Tommy," she screamed. We retreated to the service corridor. The timers on the grenades blinked, 3 minutes. Aiko found us there. She stepped from the shadows, her katana dripping blood. "You're making a mess, Malone." I aimed my Glock. "Join the party." She smirked. "Hiroto's men are mine. The Italians are yours. Why help? I don't want my empire built on rubble." She lunged past me, slicing through a Yakuza charging the door. Mia grabbed the detonator. 2 minutes. We fought our way to the front entrance. Aiko carved a path, her blade a silver blur. Mia picked off stragglers with cold precision. I covered the rear, grenades and bullets speaking my grief. The timers hit zero. The first explosion tore through the pin machines, flames geysering into the ceiling. The second and third followed, a chain reaction of fire and fury. The alley became an oven, lanes cracking, ceilings collapsing. Aiko backed toward the exit. "This isn't over, Malone." "It never is," I shouted back. Mia and I stumbled into the street, the night air choking on ash. The alley burned behind us, a pyre for the dead and damned. Sirens wailed. Time to run. The cost. We regrouped in a cemetery, the van hidden behind a mausoleum. Mia slumped against a headstone, her hands blistered, face smudged with soot. I counted the dead in my head. Rico. Tommy. Lenny. Larry. Old Pete. The girl in the arcade, whoever she was. Mia spoke softly. "Do you think it's worth it? All the blood." I lit a cigarette, the flame trembling. "Ask me tomorrow." She hugged her knees. "I can't keep doing this. Then walk away. Now." She looked at me, tears cutting through the grime. "Where would I go?" I had no answer. The cemetery held its breath, the dead silent in their judgment. The storm ahead. A text buzzed my burner phone. Unknown number. "Come home, Dex. Let's end this." A. Attached was a photo of Strikes and Spares, still smoldering. Aiko's message was clear. The final act would be written in fire. I showed Mia. She stood, reloading the revolver. "Then let's finish it." We drove toward the dawn, the ghosts howling in our wake. Chapter 6, Strike. The world ends in fire. Always has, always will. But this time, I'd be the one holding the goddamn match. Mia and I stood across the street from Strikes and Spares, the ruins of the bowling alley smoldering like a corpse refusing to die. The neon sign hung crooked, the S in Strike shattered, leaving Trike glowing in jagged red letters. Poetic, if you're into self-pity. I wasn't. The alley skeleton, charred lanes, collapsed ceiling beams, the stench of burnt rubber and heroin, felt like a mirror of my own insides. Aiko's text had been clear. "Come home." Mia checked the revolver's cylinder. "She's in there." "Yeah. And the Italians?" "Yakuza." "Yeah." She spat. "Perfect." We crossed the street, ash crunching underfoot. The front doors were blown off, hinges dangling like broken limbs. Inside, the air was thick with smoke and the sweet rot stench of cooked meat. A single floodlight rigged to a generator lit lane 7, where Aiko sat cross-legged on a scorched scoring table, her katana across her lap. She smiled. "Took you long enough." I kept my Glock trained on her. "Where's the welcoming committee?" She nodded toward the shadows. Figures emerged. Yakuza loyalists with faces like tombstones and Italians in blood-stained suits. Moretti's replacement, a slick fucker with a scar through his eyebrow, stepped forward. "Malone," he sneered. "Heard you like fireworks." Mia raised the rocket launcher. "You want to see another one?" The Italians flinched. The Yakuza didn't. Aiko sighed. "Put it down, girl. This isn't your war." "The hell it isn't." Mia's voice cracked. "You all took my brother. Burned his life to nothing. So yeah, this is my war. And I'm ending it." Aiko stood, blade glinting. "Dex. Let's talk. Just us." I glanced at Mia. She nodded, jaw tight. "Go. I'll babysit the assholes." I followed Aiko to the wrecked arcade, the floor littered with melted tokens and shattered glass. Pac-Man's corpse stared at us, screen blown out. She turned, her eyes black pools. "We could have ruled this city. You and me." "Ruled what?" I kicked a charred bowling pin. "A graveyard. Power isn't place, Dex. It's fear. Respect. And we'd have both." She stepped closer. "The Yakuza are mine now. The Italians? Pawns. But I need you. Someone the streets fear. Someone human." I laughed. "Human? You gutted that word." Her hand brushed mine. "Cold. We're the same. Broken things. But broken things can still cut." The arcade door creaked. Mia stood there, revolver aimed at Aiko's back. "He said no. Aiko didn't turn. You're interrupting, child. And you're stalling. Mia's finger tightened on the trigger. Dex. The C4. I'd almost forgotten. The duffel I'd left near lane 10, packed with enough explosives to turn the alley into a crater. Aiko's eyes flickered. She'd known. Of course she'd known. She sighed. So this is how it ends. A martyr's pyre. No, I stepped back. A reckoning. The last frame. Chaos erupted the second I grabbed the detonator. The Yakuza lunged. The Italians opened fire. Mia dove behind a shattered lane divider, returning shots with feral precision. Aiko's blade sang as she carved through the madness, her laughter sharp as shrapnel. I sprinted toward lane 10, bullets biting the wood around me. The duffel was there, untouched. I yanked the C4 free, slapped the timer, 2 minutes, and hurled it down the lane. It skidded to a stop at the pin deck. Mia, go. She didn't argue. We bolted for the exit, Aiko's scream chasing us. Coward. The explosion tore the world apart. The aftermath. They found me in the river, clinging to a scrap of lane flooring. Mia dragged me ashore, her hands bloody, face streaked with soot and tears. You idiot, she hissed. You nearly died. I coughed up black water. What happened? She stared at the flames devouring the alley. Gone. All of them. I lay back, the sky spinning. Aiko. Mia's silence was answer enough. Epilogue, the 7th frame. 3 months later, Mia reopened strikes and spares. No drugs. No Yakuza. Just a bowling alley, clean and bright. She painted the lanes herself, blood red and gold. I stopped by opening night. The crowd was thin. Locals curious if the rumors were true. Mia stood behind the counter, pouring beers and laughing. Alive. She nodded to lane 7. Your usual. I rolled a strike. The pins fell like dominoes. Somewhere, in the echoes of their clatter, I heard Rico's curse, Tommy's laugh, the twins bickering. The ghosts didn't haunt me anymore. I left the ball in the gutter and walked out. The night was quiet. I didn't mind.